Shalom, saints. Good morning. It's a beautiful day today, I believe. And we are doing well in God's grace and His infinite mercy. This is Pastor Hubert once again ministering to you. We're going to speak or continue on the subject that what we just left back yesterday morning, the ultimate struggle. And we know that even though we have received salvation in the Spirit, we have been still struggling many a times in the flesh. And the struggle goes on. And I appreciate because as Paul speaks in the book of Romans chapter 7 verse 24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? And I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And today I would just continue or extend of this topic in taking a title as "Show Me Thy Face, O Lord." You know, this was the expression of Moses. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. We will take the text from Exodus chapter 33, and we will try to read from the verse 18 and following. 33 chapter verse 18 and following. "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." May God's word be honored and blessed, because I believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Moses had a quest. He wanted to see the face of the Lord. And we know that we are now in an age where it is exercising every bit of our body and spirit to exercise all the kind of struggles that we face to get ourselves towards perfection. Now, I would like to tell us by my experience that we are now entered into an age where I believe all the past 6,000 years now are compressed or put forth in this one age. And there has never been an experience for any human existence as we have experiencing, or as we are experiencing this part or this great move of God in this particular age. My brothers and sisters, God has been gracious, as we see, as the struggle goes on. I remember the verse in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. He says, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And as he says, and he goes a little further and he prays, but when he returns back, he sees them asleep. And then he says, "Awake, enter not into temptation, for the hour is come." And then again, he goes ahead and prays. And when he returns, again he sees them fallen asleep. And he is so amazed that you cannot even tarry 1 hour. And it says, then he says, "Now wake up, now there is No need to pray. No need to ask God. No need to seek anything. It's over. Like I would consider this truth that what the Lord experienced, that we are now entering into truly that a time of betrayal, a time of death, a time of darkness. But are we going to remain prayerless and be victims of the great tragedies that are taking place into the world? Are we going to allow and ask God, Lord, change me? Why do we keep this body in subjection or in a kind of domain? It's time that the body must be transformed. And that is through spiritual purging into many, many times or multiple deaths that we face each moment and each day. We must enter into a state where our being, our bodies must survive and must be transformed, and we are to be a people in this age of time, a mystery people. A people who have a mystery in them. It's not something that we are just like anybody else. We are just a part of the phasing world. No, there is a mystery of God in us. Now, when we see this prophetic age that what we are going through, now both the past and the present are now being opened to us in a newer dimension. When Moses pleaded or asked the Lord, Lord, show me thy face, that I may see thee. And the Lord said, you cannot see my face and live. When he asked him to show his face, he showed him his back. Now, what is God's back or what is God's face? We all do understand at this part of time that God is a spirit. And when Moses pleaded and Moses sought to see the face of God, God said, there is a place and I would hide you in the cleft of the rock that is besides the Lord. And when Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock, the Lord passed by, and all what he could see was his back part. Parts, it says in the scriptures. What is the back of the Lord? It is his past. It is his works that he has accomplished. It is his creation. It is that Eden. It is his Genesis. And when we are living in this message today, when we are now just been lifted up in our faith, we are so very vivid and different. It's because we see God's creation, we see his Eden, we see the Genesis of the Lord, and we are now privileged, or we've been blessed, because we are able to see in Jesus Christ the very face of the Lord. God is in a move, and when God moves, he doesn't move in the air or he doesn't move in space. He doesn't move in a time, but God moves in God. And that's the reason we see God could not just show his face till Jesus could come. And when Jesus came, he expressed, he was the express image of God. And through him, we see how God brought or revealed or expressed every move that God had from the beginning. You know, this is the only message which has brought the book of Genesis and all of the Old Testament so much and so vivid and so alive. So, as we see, as for example, Moses saw in his in that cleft, all about his creation. He was a great, 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 great grandson of Abraham. And he saw his grandfather, great, great grandfather Abraham. He saw what were his surroundings. He saw what was his trial. He saw everything that happened in that age. He saw about Eden. He saw Abel. He saw Adam. He saw everything. And he learned of all the great events. And he was the one who wrote down the entire text of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He wrote of all the Torah. Why? Because God caused him to see his back. His back is all that what God has created. But his future, all that was which was supposed to be a coming in the days ahead, that required the Lord Jesus Christ to come upon the earth in a human body, in a human embodiment, so that all we could learn about God and his move and his plan, his purpose, his will, that we could be able to do it and walk in it and see the light of his glory. When Jesus came, he completed the dimension of the doings of God in the face of God. There is an inheritance coming where we are about to inherit all of God's ability of his working back forth. We are the most privileged bride who are loaded with all God's fullness. As I mentioned, we are also in a very prophetic age. Why I'm saying prophetic age? Because when we see the prophecy or the prophetic events of God, both the past and the present, this is an age of the unity of the body of Christ or the army of God. Now this great move of God has been merging in us to create such a strong and unbeatable force to get into that final victory over sin and Satan. My brothers and sisters, you know, we need an elaborate time and study to acknowledge many of God's deep things that are being revealed or unveiled in this part of time. When Paul stated this, "O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because through Christ we are able to understand who the true Lord and our Savior is. God manifest in the flesh. And we are so very grateful for all the blessed and wonderful and amazing truthful revelations that God has given to us or gathered us back to us through the ministry of Brother William Branham and the saints in the fivefold ministry to enrich every part and every believer around the globe. And we are so privileged because this is not just the working of men, but this is the working of the Lord. As I mentioned about the three phases, I would love to explain a little bit of it. The time of betrayal, the time of death, and the time of darkness. What we read is actually from Matthew chapter 26. And I would love to read that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm reading from verse 44. "And he left and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then come he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Now, when he instructed his disciples to be praying and tarrying with him in that hour of time, but they could not, they did not able to fulfill that what he would have been praying. If they would have prayed, probably they would have been victorious. But they couldn't do it. They were found weak. And when Jesus said, "Now it is over, it's over, it's all over. You sleep on, you don't need to pray. Okay, let's move from here. The faith that he gave to the body of Christ, it is actually turning out to be betrayed. The life that he gave into the body of Christ, this church, his bride, is also turning dead. And the phase, it's now getting ultimately death or ultimate darkness. Now, we know that we are all now in this last moment of time of God's grace. We need to learn and drastically change that. We must allow God to change our bodies and be transformed through a spiritual purging, that none of the devices or vices of the Satan be ever be able to survive in our body. We are a mystery people. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we will talk about this mystery and this mysterious path of what exactly we would be in our next session tomorrow. I believe we have been blessed this day, and God bless you. Stay blessed and do well in His sight. Let the name of the Lord be exalted. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.